noise was just part of everything. I could deal with the kids in Europe, but that's okay. They're used to going out. But I was so excited to see that amount of kids today. That was great. And thank you, parents and grandparents, for bringing your kids today. That was cool. I think things are happening over there.
Okay.
But I just had a little flashback this week. And what a week this has been. I've told that got injured. Whether she kicked the guy or not, I don't know. But I told a knee that's a problem. Somebody that's in an ER. We have had issues this week. God's at work. Because you're here. And my flashback goes to back in 89. And I'm not going to bury you with the whole story. It was a long, hard year. We were doing a church plant in Caracas, Venezuela. And there's basically three families, and Effie and me, and our little daughter. And when we started that year, and by the end of that year, we had grown that church to 110. But what happened was during that year, Effie and I personally, we had one thing after another that was happening. And yet on the spiritual side, God was working. Our car was stolen. Our three-year-old daughter that you saw the other day here, now a few more years older, she was hit by a car in November of that year. And bounced off, wetted her pants. But that was all that happened. God protected her. But that was just the culmination of that year. So many other things have happened. But what I want to say is, when bad things do happen, God still, God is supporting us. And look at, we have a good group here today. I mean, this is probably the largest group we've had in a few Sundays. And I'm excited about it. And I'm excited to see where God is going to take us and grow us personally. Because even through those issues that Effie and I were facing, we never asked the why, but what for. And God blessed that church. That church is still going on there in Caracas today. A lot of us have moved on. We did. Last week it was a joy to have my family here. That was the first time that grandson had sat through a sermon, because they always take it to nursery. And he sat through, and hopefully he will be the fifth generation of preachers. But anyways, it was a blessing to have my family here last week. And he got it. He got it. I mean, we've had a lot of fun this week. But I want to start this week, basically where we left off last week, and continue on. Will you bear with me? Can we do that? Okay. We ended saying this verse. So we're going to start by saying this verse. Okay? Everybody ready? One, two, three. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second of it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. Jesus summarized that for us. The greatest commandment is love God. That's a vertical relationship. Okay? And we have to go deep on that one. But there's also a horizontal part of loving the neighbor. And that is where I want to land a little bit more today and take a little bit more time and just to see some more practical applications and apply that to us today. We want to build on that and unpack that. Now, as I started thinking about this, actually, started out as one sermon, then maybe two, now three, and who knows? I'm willing to keep going. There's an end game coming because Richard wants that. And I'm looking forward to that, and I'm gladly let him have that. But I was told this Sunday, Ernest, you're not a Southern Baptist preacher. I don't pretend to be. I don't pretend to be. Okay. And our doctrine could be very similar, but sometimes we do things a little different from where I come from. And I, having lived in Venezuela, I tend to make it a little more interactive. I like your participation. Just like I just broke this pulpit. Boy, I'm going to get to tell some stories. One day in a church in Valencia, I was going. I was in it. And I jumped up on something. It didn't hold me. And now in Cuba, there was a stack of chairs. I jumped up on top of those chairs. They took pictures of me up on the on those chairs as I was preaching away. I'm a wildcat when it comes to it, but I'll just calm down. I'm in the south. I'm a little softer on you, okay? They didn't want this pulpit anyway, so here we go. My preference is one of those things, because that way I can be closer to you, okay? Anyways, so as I was thinking about this, I never knew that I was actually going to be doing the third today. And then I looked at the reality of that and how everything's sort of intertwining. And so I pulled up something from one of my seminary classes. Okay, 5 components of the redemptive community. Now, the first sermon was really on the left-hand corner, reconcile. Last Sunday was the left-hand bottom corner that I served. Well, we got 3 more pieces. You guys do learn real good. Now, there's a part of learning that is exterior of this walls, but you guys have good preaching from Richard. Every Sunday he comes, he preaches really good. You have Sunday school class, and we hear reports of that Wednesday night, and you also had a women's Bible study for a while, and some of you have even told me about your personal devotions. We do get the piece of learning, okay, and if I have the opportunity next week, we'll do that centerpiece of love, because for me that is basis of everything, okay, and we've alluded to that. But today, what we're going to jump ahead to is that last bottom corner of outreach. And thank you, Carrie, for the songs. A couple of them, it was like, they're on tune. I mean, they're on in sync with everything that's going on. Now, here at Crossroad, I need to explain another term that I have up there, redemptive community. Some might be saying, that's making noise. That might be making noise. Let me try to explain that. So often when we say church, we think of this. Well, I heard say, at the church. And we're talking about the building. Okay? But really, it's about us. When we're not here, this is no longer church. The church walks out the door. Okay? And so, for the sake of changing, so what we think, when I say redemptive community, I mean church. But I'm talking about a philosophical thing. And frankly, Crossroads has that in their name. It doesn't say Southern Baptist on it, even though you're affiliated with the Southern Baptist Church Association. It says Christian Fellowship. Ah, that's a philosophical change. That's intentional. That was for us to think in terms of the fact that we're something more than just a box. Amen. Okay? And if you have some disagreements with me on that, here's a verse. Somebody want to read that for me or for us?
Fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise, Christ Jesus.
We're a body, a family. There's a lot of other verses I could bring into this. We are a family, and the purpose for us is to be redemptive. Love on. Love on. And be on our way on doing that. So, if you understand that phrase, redemptive community, remember that we're talking about that ministry of reconciliation. We repeat a little bit from that very first sermon. And then we need to be transforming lives in the image of Christ. Wow, this is exciting what Kerry was sharing about his friend. That is part of the conversation that I want to have with you today. That of transforming lives in the image of Christ and multiplying ourselves in others. And so let's be about finding how to do that bottom corner, okay? And be if I do have the opportunity, I would love to share about love. I love that whole piece. Because God has given me the opportunity to see something there that I've been thinking about. I'd like to share that. But if it doesn't happen, we'll keep that for another day down on the road, okay? Whenever Richard goes on vacation. But, well, that's what he asked me to come. Okay? Now, many of you will be looking at that and try to put in a language of come. Come to be reconciled. Come to serve. Come to be outreached. Come to learn. Come to love. For me, it's not a come language. It's a go language. It's a go language. Pass it on. Right? Okay? And sure, we need to edify one another. We need to serve one another. But there's a piece of that. It's outside of these four walls that can never, these four walls can't contain all of that to be a redemptive community. Now, if we're doing come real good, I mean going real good, come will happen. Okay? Because people will come because it's like honey in the room. They want to be, their bees attracted to that. Okay? And but we must go first. We're not invited to sit. There's no invitation in the Bible for us to just come and sit. We're sent. We're sent. And you're sent ones. Some of us went a little farther than others. Okay? Not all of you are called to go to Venezuela. Right now, I would suggest with your passports that you go to Venezuela. Fortunately, my wife could hide for many years. We're a Canadian family, and so she could hide. But at the same time, we're still sent locally, regionally, nationally, maybe some internationally. Okay. Now, we think about Jesus. He was sent, and he did all of that. He did all of that to redeem us. He was sent. He loved. He reconciled people. He taught. He served. People came to him, and with that of transforming lives. Oh, that one song about change life. That's what resonated with what we wanted to share here today. So the verses. Where we're going to start really boring in on this, it starts in Mark 5:19. And the context to this verse, Jesus was about his ministry and he came and to some caves. And there was this I don't know how you say the guy's name. I will butcher it regardless of how I say it because My mind is working in Spanish sometimes and sometimes in my native language and so forth. But the Gezerine, does that make sense? Gadarene, the demonic from that, from there, and Jesus had healed him. That whole story. And the guy says, I want to go with you. And Jesus turns and says, no. Well, he didn't say no. This is what he said. Somebody want to read that for me?
Go to your home and yours. Tell them what great things the Lord has done to you. Because he has mercy on you.
I picked on you last week and I'm going to pick on you again.
That was 2 weeks
ago. Okay. Can you read it again? But when you get to that where it says G-O, really blurt that out loud.
Go!
But no, start from the beginning.
All right. Jesus said, go to your home. Yours and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you because he has mercy on you.
There's no doubt what this guy was supposed to do. It was clear. It was totally clear for him. But here's the beautiful thing. He had just been changed. He had a transformed life. He had gone from what people didn't want contact with him. He was outcast. Done with. And Jesus powerfully and encouragingly says, go back home. Go back home. He had something to share. He had something to share. And it was to go home. Now, let's unpack that a little bit. Because of this transformation that has happened. It was dramatic. It was immediate. It was for real. And because so many had given up, for him to go back and they see him of sound mind would have been tremendous. Now, Jesus didn't say, go to a seminary and learn to be a preacher. He didn't say, go to Sunday school for 7 years and then maybe you can share your testimony. He says, go now. Okay, go and be on your way. And that's why the title is On My Way. On My Way. And because he was loaded. He could not sit on it any longer. Again, we have in this verse, not come, because he wanted to follow Jesus. It would have been easy for Jesus to come. And Jesus did say come to a few people. But for the most, it was like this. Go. Go. Now, I have a few diagnostic questions I'd like to ask of this verse. And here I go into my teacher mode. Okay? My diagnostic questions are basically the 5 W's and the H. They're going to be in a different order. And the first two are a little bit, you're going to say, yeah, where'd you get that? Well, we'll land it. Okay? So let's look at the very first one. When? If Jesus was saying this, when was this supposed to happen? Now, be on your way, now, and that is for us too, be on your way, okay, then we go to the H, how, this is a little tougher one, this is the toughest one of the whole bunch, how, look, finding, searching for your family. Let's go. Go to find. And so I'll put the word search up there. The next one is where. That one's easy. Home. Okay, let me just land the plane for a moment before we take off again. Jesus says home. The Greek word is oikos. If you've never heard that, oikos comes up 114 times in the New Testament. 114 times, and that means house. And that's why there's a phrase on your outline that says, your oikos. We're going there. You'll understand in a minute. But oikos is everybody that lives under your roof. It could be your wife, your grandma, your kids, brother-in-law, sister-in-law. It could be nephews, nieces. It could be anybody that's living underneath your roof that's attached to you, like a parasite. Okay? Now, there's some that are loosely attached as well that are involved in your life. Okay? And so, so he needed to go and search and find those and go to the spot that's marked X and there start to do it. His home. We'll come back to this. We'll just keep working through this verse. So there's your oikos. Sorry, that didn't pop up when I was talking about it. Then who? Excuse me? Okay. Him, you go to your house. But there's another you there as well. To whom? To his. To his, to his friends, to his people. And that should be popping up. It's not happening. There we go. You and your people. Okay, so we have two parts there. You see that? You see that? Are you with me on that? Okay, then let's go to the next W. What? What? What's this all about? Tell the great things that he has done. I mean, we have so much treasure bundled up that we have learned so much stuff. We have gathered so many years of receiving, that we don't do anything with. We're sitting on it. We need to tell the great things that he has done. As I'm going reading through my Bible right now, every time God is doing something, I put a little diamond in my Bible. Because, and it's over and over. What he has done? We can talk all day just of the things he has done. Remember the first sermon? I asked you, how did God show up? And we got three testimonies that quick. I mean, if I was to ask, we should have more. Okay, what? What is a testimony? You have a testimony, and your testimony is different than my testimony, but God can use your testimony, and it resonates with those that can see your changed life. And then we want to do the last one. I'll just put it all up there. Because he had mercy on you. You. He forgave you. He has transformed you. Now share that. You don't have to have all the years of education that I have to share that. You don't. In fact, my education would be at his. Only time that would help was when I was in a taxi in Venezuela. So what do you do? Well, I'm a professor. Professor of what? Of theology. What's that? Doctrine of God. Do you want to hear about it? Open the door. Away we went. Okay? But that was about the only time that it worked. Anyways. What's that? Oh, yes. You have to have an elevator version. You have to have 5 minutes. 5 minutes because you don't know how long you got. Okay? We have gotten so much. We have been blessed so much. And people are waiting for you. And I'll come back to that in a bit. But your testimony has to be contagious. It has to be real. It has to be what God is doing. It can't be distilled out of a little of fluffy stuff. It has to be what God is really doing in your life and changing you, making you be that new creature in Christ. Oh, let's look at another woman and person. We'll look at the I won't put the whole text because of the wall. But here, Jesus comes to a well, sits down, and he starts talking to this woman. And she comes to gather water, and she's coming off duty because she couldn't come when others did. She had to come when nobody else was watching. And here was Jesus sitting right in his way, in her way. And there, and they started a conversation. And they started talking about prophets and the forefathers and so forth. And we worship on this mountain, and you worship on that mountain. And the false worship and salvation. And back and forth they went. And Jesus says, and there's a day coming when you'll worship me in spirit and truth. But out of that, all of that, she got the opportunity to get living water. Guess what? She went back to her oracles. She went back to her oracles. And here's what the text says about that oracle. So the woman left her water pot. After all, she came for water. She left the water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? They went out of the city and were coming to him. I'll have you finish reading it. And there's more to this story there. They went and drove to where Jesus was. But here's the response. Somebody read that, please.
From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman
who testified. Her oikos believed. Her oikos believed. Her people, they believed. Because there was a testimony or change, transformation that had happened. Again, this transformed life is so important. Now, I'm going to put up the word oikos, of house that's growing. Okay? I've told you what oikos means. Now, in your bulletin, it came this way. I'm looking for it. I'll find it later. But it should have been a box so you can cut it out and reflect on it later. But anyways, we'll get to that in a minute. But what you'll see is the four words. Relatives, friends, neighbors, and colleagues. Now, I have this copyrighted in Spanish. But it's totally different. It's P-A-V-A. Parientes, amigos, vecinos, asociados. Pava. But I couldn't find something that was cute in English. This is the only second time I've ever mentioned this in English. Okay? So bear with me. The idea is there. Okay? And so relatives are basically your immediate household. Okay? Those that are right there. And when I was looking for that piece of paper, I got lost. Okay. Let's do something that Corey is not very Southern Baptist. Okay, can I do that? Okay. I'm going to ask something that I have had the opportunity to ask in different contexts. And I'm going to quantify something today. That's a big word for some, maybe. I am going to verify something with numbers. Okay? Now, how did you come to Christ? Did any of these four have an influence on you coming to Christ? And I want you to think about it for just a second. Or was it this? Just this. Just think. Don't answer yet, okay? I'm going to give you a chance to answer. This is what we're going to do. We're going to raise our hands. If one of those four was influential in you coming to Christ, raise your hands. Okay. You beat my numbers. You beat my numbers. Okay. Because it was 100%. Mike, I didn't see you. Okay, I didn't look up. I'm sorry. And now, if we do the poll right, 95% will have come to Christ as a result of that. Okay? If 95% come to Christ, and here it was 100%, every one of you raised your hands. That's the second time of many times I've asked the question. Then why are we spending 5% of our time and energy just to make it happen inside this four walls when the 95% are waiting outside? I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying often we get so distracted that we put a lot of pressure on this point that we forget about that critical piece that's out there. Our mission field's out there. In fact, today there's hundreds of people driving past. Some of them, in fact, last Sunday there was a Hindu family that drove on the yard, turned around right in front of me, and drove back out because they realized they, oh, this is not where they wanted to be. But how many non-believers are in this traffic line? And what are we doing about it? Okay. One time, a pastor who has his church building 500 feet away from the beaches of Venezuela, I asked him, on a Sunday morning, what outreach do you have to the people? Because I also asked him, what if one of them came into the church building with a bikini? Oh! Oh! And yet, every Sunday, the beach, 500 feet away from that building, that beach was loaded with people. Or walking the streets of Mexico City, driving. And they wanted me to do an analysis of their church plant. I'd arrived to do the analysis. And we walked up. And the guy that I was walking with was dressed in an Italian suit and shoes. Into a slum area of Mexico City. As we walked in, I was in blue jeans. I had sort of skirted out what was happening here already. I was in blue jeans. And we walked past guys that were doing mechanic work and sold. And he only had three people attending his activity. Tell me what was wrong. Because we are not connecting with those that are there waiting for us. 95% of the conversions or more, and in this case 100%, will because of reaching out to our own. Their destiny is dependent upon us. They might not have another opportunity. It's on us. These are people that the Supreme God, the Sovereign God, the Almighty God, has put into you network strategically, appropriately. They're there waiting for you. We need to focus in on this. This must be our strategy. The Great Commission was not given to unbelievers. It was given to us to reach the lost. The encouragement is then to take a look at our network of relationships to try to reach them. And so often, we just do it happenstance. No, we need to be intentional about it. And we need to start having conversations that create moments. I could spend all day just sitting here talking about it. Some of the stories that God has given me. One day, I planned on this one. One day, Effie and my daughter were at an activity in Portland, Oregon, of all places, with Awana Clubs. And I dropped them off there, and I was working on my doctor's license at the time. And so I go up to a Burger King, and I just sit there at Burger King reading and whatever. I had to read 500 pages a day, and I had to try to get through it. All of a sudden, off in the distance, I hear, "What's your name? What's your name?" I said, "Ernesto," because they were saying it in Spanish. "Ernesto. ¿Y cómo te llamas tú? How are you called?" Victoria came up the name. And it became a conversation the next few weeks about victory in Jesus. You take those divine moments, whatever happens to come your way, yes, but you have to also be thinking strategically. So, I want to take a moment and just pray. I did that last week and stopped in the middle and prayed. I'm going to do that again. Let's pray. I'm going to be praying for you. Heavenly Father, the beautiful group of people that we are assembled here together today, given me the opportunity to share my heart, my life walk, my journey. And as they start to think about who is in their oikos, that they would be thinking of some really tough ones that you want to work in their lives. There'll be some easy ones. And that we could be on the mission, on our way to reaching them. Give them names and then give them opportunities. And that you could just bless their testimony in a rich way. Let's pray this in your name. Amen. Let me tell you a couple stories. Next week is Canadian Thanksgiving. No big deal. We'll blow through that one. Sure, my wife will make something special for her. Just maybe my daughter. But living in Venezuela, they don't celebrate American Thanksgiving. That's not their equation. But they've seen the movies. They've seen news about it. And so, one time, every year, because we don't have family in Venezuela, we had to create this, what I'm talking about, working with our oikos. Because we're foreigners. You know how foreigners are treated, even here. Okay? Sometimes, doesn't matter the level of education, you're treated like if you're stupid. Okay? But we had gained the trust of a few people, quite a few people, and anyways, so every year we would invite somebody and to do this evangelistically. Last year, Effie and I were invited to a family here, and that was so meaningful. Thank you again. But there, we were intentional. So who are we going to invite this year? And there was no repeaters. We didn't repeat. And so this one year, a name or family came to our mind. We invited them. The husband, he was as far away from the Lord as you could get. He was a hard. Okay. But he came, and as custom is among some families, I said, okay, let's go around, just thank the Lord. Thank God for something. I didn't say God, Lord. Thank God for something. Doesn't matter what it is. Got to him, and he said, I thank God for my family. Thank you. Let's move on. Okay? And we went around the circle. Well, I continued to have conversations with him. Via text and whatever, when we just get together, different occasions. Then Christmas came. And Christmas for them is like Thanksgiving is for us here. Very family oriented. If you're not family, you don't get in. They invited us because they felt compelled to. So we were invited. And he and I would talk politics and kind of. I usually didn't go politics very much, but I let him talk. And sports, and his team was not my team, in Venezuela, but we would chatter back and forth. But he would say it was bottle of whiskey, and I had my Pepsi. And we talked. That was Christmas. Sometime mid-January, and we continued to have other conversations. Mid-January, all of a sudden one day, he says to his family, "We're going to church this morning." Upshot was, he had prayed to accept Christ in the privacy of his bed. And now he wanted to. We had the joy of being at his baptism. I had the joy of installing him as an elder into the church. Now they live here just south of Atlanta, but like a lot of Venezuelans have left the country. But if you're listening, my friend, I love you. They became very dear. We spent a lot of hours with them. Just one story. Then we moved. I have other stories from Venezuela. But this guy was number one on my list, and I had him as a hard knock, but I considered him a friend. We moved to Oregon, and my list changed. And there, a guy by the name of Cameron, he won't be listening to this. There's no way. Cameron was a pagan with a lot of broken relationships. He still is. Unfortunately. Because as we moved, the light went out in his life. But often, I'd have the opportunity. We'd be bucking hay for our neighbor. I said, "Yeah, you know who I am?" "Yeah, I do." It was like you wanted to run. And I said, "You know what? I've been praying for you." But he saw me willing to work alongside him, fucking hate. And then pretty soon, he come and told me, "Such and such a thing is happening in his life." I went, "Oh, he's asking me for prayer." And so that I could follow up on that. And we continued that. And when we left Oregon, that was one of the relationships that I regretted, that I had to leave behind. Everything in his world went to pot, literally. He is in a bad spot right now. I have no contact with him. But we've been rebuilding our list. I have Mike and Anita. I have Tom and Trina. I have Matthews, so forth, living right around me. And again, my whole Oikos, the literal family, you saw them all here last week. I don't have another family in Georgia, so I have to be creative, okay? Now, as you think about your list, and I have the four names up there, I want you to start thinking in terms of who are the relatives, family, parents, siblings that should be on that list. Think of 9 to 12 people. Or 5. You say 9 a lot. Well, 5 to 12. 10 is a good number. And start filling that list in. And then you might want to reorganize that list to that where you put, this is number one really out of all of them that I want to work with. So take a moment. Do that, please. Do that right there. If you need pens, there's pens over there. If you need a pen, I can even load you one from here. Now, that list, my intention was it was going to be in a box. You cut out that box, paste it on cardstock or something like that, and put it on the fridge. So you're going to have to invent and write up, put a box around that list, or redo that list later. Okay? Now, on your list, there's 20% that probably will never come to Christ. There's 60% that maybe will come to Christ. And there's 20%. We have to get to 100, right? We have 20, 60. Another 20% that they're just waiting. for somebody like you, with your personality, with your temperament, with your sense of humor or lack of humor, for your age or lack of age, be it as they're waiting for you to go home to yours and tell the great things that he has done and how he had mercy on you. Okay, work on your list. That's not very Southern Baptist, right? To do it right now. But we'll navigate that. Donna is grinning at me. For some of us, we never thought about it. We've never thought about it. But we need to think about it. They're waiting for you. If you're doing husband and wife, there could be similarities of names, but there could be divergences. Randy, are you working on a list? Are you writing them down? You ready, Max? Got your list? Yeah. You have neighbors.
Yeah, I have very good Christian neighbors. I'm worried about my brother.
Well, that's a start. That's a start.
That's a very long distance relationship in Arizona. Oh, and we call them that when we're in Texas. And I said a lot of things like that.
Yeah. That burn is a lot of water. I ain't got no burn. Well, that's a good thing. You have opportunities. And that, now you're going to reorganize. You're going to figure out, okay, who's number one on that list, okay? Keep working on your list. Take that home and work on it. Organize it. Put it on your fridge or put it in your Bible. Put it somewhere where it is visible to you, okay? And keep it and pray for it. And then start investing in these people's lives and sharing and look for ways to invite them into intentional conversation. It could be over a coffee. It could be over a lunch. It might eventually mean coming here. But that's not necessarily the starting point. Okay? Over 2,000 years, the church has existed for this very purpose. If it was that it was just to come to Jesus and we're done, We'd be gone. We were left for this very purpose. To change the world. To change our oikos. To influence into our oikos. To transform lives in the image of Christ. And multiply ourselves in them. They're waiting. Waiting. And hopefully not waiting any longer. It starts with us by going to our oikos.
Are you thinking of someone? God.